anytime you tell any person that you ever meet that you've worked on a large research vessel, they always want to know more about it, because it is just like a very unique experience. Living on a ship for, you know, a week or two at a time, and working, the ship is running 24 hours a day. And you're working these weird 12-hour shifts, either from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. or from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m., doing science in the pitch black out in the middle of Lake Superior, sometimes under like a full moon or, you know, some really amazing stars. And it's a totally unique experience.
This is the ORISE Feature Cast. Join host Michael Holtz for conversations with ORISE experts on STEM workforce development, scientific and technical reviews, and the evaluation of radiation exposure and environmental contamination. You'll also hear from ORISE research program participants and their mentors as they talk about their experiences and how they are helping shape the future of science. Welcome to the ORISE Feature Cast.
Welcome to the ORISE Feature Cast. As ever, it's me, your host, Michael Holtz, in the Communications and Marketing Department at the Oak Ridge Institute for Science and Education. And as ever, we are bringing you research participation experiences. This week, we are talking about the Environmental Protection Agency's Great Lakes National Program Office with two of the fine researchers who ORISE has placed and experiences there. And to join me for that conversation is my co-host, Matthew Underwood. Matthew, welcome once again to being co-host for the ORISE Feature Cast.
Thanks, Michael. I'm really excited about this conversation. You know, we talk to these participants all the time, and now we get to have two-in-one conversation, which is so exciting, and to learn more about what they're doing and, you know, the exciting research that's going on.
And for me, you know, as a kid who grew up in the Great Lakes region, I didn't even know this was a thing. So I get to learn even more about all of that. But I want to welcome to the podcast Isabel Dunn and Susanna Liguori. Ladies, welcome to the ORISE Feature Cast.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So I want to do just a quick, give you both a quick opportunity to just introduce yourselves and what you're doing currently in your ORISE research participation experience. So Isabel, if you'll start, just let us know a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So I'm Isabel. I'm an ORISE participant in what we call the front office at EPA's Great Lakes National Program Office. We call that GLENPO. I'm just going to use that from here on out.
Sure.
Lots of acronyms in the ORISE world, but I work mostly on the data management and reporting side of things that support the work that's done under the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. I get to help with some of the internal and external communications as well, curating success stories that we end up sharing with the public or in different reports, whether it's for Congress or other stakeholders. So that's the short of it.
Awesome. Susanna, how about you?
Yeah, I'm Susanna Liguori, Suze, and I work in the Areas of Concern program within the Great Lakes National Program Office. So the Areas of Concern program is a very specific portion of the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement that designated certain areas around the Great Lakes region as being extra, extra polluted and environmentally degraded. And we now work to clean them up and do environmental remediation and restoration. So the site of our office that I work in takes care of overseeing all the money that comes through to support the remediation and restoration efforts. Lots of partnerships and stakeholder relationships.
Awesome and really important work to fix some of the issues that are happening in the water and in surrounding areas, right? So important work being done there. So for both of you, has science always been an interest? Is this something that you saw yourself doing, whether it's this specific role or being a scientist in general?
Sure, I can run with that. I also grew up in the Great Lakes region, spending a lot of time, particularly on the shores of Lake Huron. My family has a history of spending time on Boys Blank Island in Lake Huron. So I think that's kind of where I fell in love with water and science and knew that was something that I wanted to pursue as a career. It helps that both my parents are very nature-oriented, outdoorsy folks too, and we're very supportive of that. I guess I didn't realize I'd get to like actually work on the Great Lakes and even go out on the research vessel, EPA's Lake Guardian, but I grew up seeing a lot of research vessels from other agencies out on the water. So it's pretty cool now to say that I've also been on one of those and gotten to support the science that takes place there.
Awesome. Suze?
Yeah, and similarly, I also grew up in the Great Lakes region outside of Chicago. And both of my parents are actually environmental scientists. So to say that I've been indoctrinated from a young age is not an overstatement. I grew up camping and hiking and doing all those things with my family. And we spent a lot of time on rivers doing canoeing trips. So I think I sort of initially fell in love with rivers and streams. And I never really thought that I would be working on this incredibly unique, massive freshwater resource that we have in the Midwest. But it's been a pretty awesome experience.
That's awesome. So as you both have been, you know, as you were looking for research participation programs, why choose the EPA and why choose what you're doing now? And has that experience been what you were expecting, or have there been, you know, some things that you weren't expecting that you've enjoyed throughout the journey?
I guess, yeah, this was my first role right out of undergrad. I went to school in central Wisconsin. And so a lot of our coursework and field work for class was focused on more inland systems like wetlands and streams. But I did have a desire kind of to learn about what large lake science and work was like. So that's kind of why when I saw this opportunity, I was really excited to go for it and get the opportunity to come here. I don't know. I feel like I had a good idea of what I was getting into based on conversations before accepting the position. I mean, it is hard to know what it's going to be like on a research vessel when you only like been out in a wetland and your waders. It's a little bit of a different experience with the types of equipment that's involved and the training, but I've enjoyed all of it.
Awesome. Yeah. And so I am coming into this position from being in grad school. So I have done two graduate programs, one at Grand Valley State University, where I actually got to do some of the work that our office funds, but on a, you know, a grant level. So I got to do coastal wetlands monitoring when I was there. And my office was actually right on the shore of one of the areas of concern on Muskegon Lake. So I had this sort of like subconscious connection to the areas of concern program. And then wound up going to another university for my second degree, not really focusing on the Great Lakes at all in my research. But when I was finishing and I saw this position advertised, it sort of felt too serendipitous to pass up that I could, you know, work at a more administrative and higher level in a program that I had already participated in years before. And it has been, I mean, it's been very cool to go from seeing what happens on the like funding recipient end of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative when I was doing that coastal wetlands monitoring to seeing the inner workings of the office that actually oversees that funding and administers it to different states and universities to go out and do this research and monitoring. So it's been a very cool full circle experience. I think I always expected to work for a Department of Natural Resources type agency where you're doing much more field work and things like that. But working in the governmental side, program administration has been a really interesting perspective.
I can only imagine. I wonder, Isabel, you talked about going out on the Guardian. Suze, have you had that experience? And talk about what that's like. That seems like such an awesome opportunity to be out on the lakes.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. I think that most of the O-Rises who come through our office agree that that's the highlight of the experience. And anytime you tell any person that you ever meet that you've worked on a large research vessel, they always want to know more about it because it is just like a very unique experience. Living on a ship for, you know, a week or two at a time and working, the ship is running 24 hours a day. And you're working these weird 12-hour shifts, either from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. or from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m., doing science in the pitch black out in the middle of Lake Superior, sometimes under like a full moon or, you know, some really amazing stars. And it's a totally unique experience.
Isabel, talk about from your perspective.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it also connects you to a lot of people too. Like, you're obviously in pretty tight quarters on a ship with a bunch of other scientists and crew members. So you get to know each other fairly well in the amount of time you spend together. And even at a conference I was just at this past week, it wasn't even related necessarily to like large lake science, but I met someone who had also been on the Lake Guardian, and right away then you have a connection that not many other people are able to share. But yeah, I've enjoyed getting to learn about the different equipment that's necessary to do science out on the lake. It's all large and expensive type stuff. A lot of what we do as O-Rise from Glenpo on the ship is like taking care of the water samples that we collect. There's a large piece of equipment called a rosette that we drop down into the water and collect samples at different depths in the water column. And then we get to process that and send it out to be analyzed for lots of different things like nutrients or chemicals. But there's also other work happening on the ship, like with the benthic organisms, the little guys living on the bottom, or even sediment. So I've enjoyed getting to see like the vast span of different equipment and research that happens all on this one ship, and to get to meet the different partners that are involved in that.
Yeah, I think that's another really cool thing, is just working with all these different scientists and hearing about, you know, some people are studying the genomes of microbes in the water, and they have this crazy filtration device, and they have, you know, liquid nitrogen to flash freeze their samples. And, you know, you go from that to the O-Rises who are filtering water and doing, you know, basic chemistry tests, like testing the pH of the water and turbidity and things like that. And it's really cool to see just like the variety of science that's able to be done through this sort of one avenue working on the ship. And then, you know, one week you have this whole crew of people working on the same things, and then the next week it could totally change. So you have different scientists coming on board all the time, and you get to see some really interesting technology too. It's really cool.
It really sounds like a great experience and a lot of learning and broadening your horizons, right, of the different kinds of science that can be going on one research vessel, but also, you know, in one body of water, that you're looking at so many different aspects of the ecology and the life and the quality and all of those things. So that sounds really amazing. How many people are, when you go out, are typically like on the ship at a given time?
I want to say like between 20 and 30 usually.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes we're running like really full, like if there's a lot of university partners out there, but I think the crew alone is like close to 20 people. I don't know if that's true, but.
Okay. So a lot.
Yeah, a lot. It's a huge, it's the largest research vessel in the Great Lakes. It's pretty massive.
Awesome. Okay.
That's awesome. So you talk about, you know, getting to meet other people that might not necessarily be working on the same project you, but just being able to collaborate with other scientists that and learn from them and learn different things. How has that experience been to learn from these other scientists who, like you said, maybe working on other projects, but you're still able to learn, you know, more about the overall theme of science and what they're working on as well?
Yeah, for sure. We're not, as ORISE, we're not locked in at our water filtering station the whole time. Like, we can sneak to the back to see what things other people are working on. I come from more of like a benthos background, so the critters at the bottom of the lake. So I like to go back there and see what our university partners are finding at the bottom of the lake. But like Suze was saying, it's different every week almost. Different people maybe working on their thesis research, maybe supporting EPA Great Lakes Monitoring Initiative. But it's been really helpful too as an early career person just to see what these other students are doing and how they got to where they are and how that path has worked out for them. It's definitely helped me picture my future direction as a scientist as well.
Yeah, lots of either early morning or late night conversations with other scientists working on the ship. You're not moving super fast, so sometimes it takes a while to get from one site to the next site, so you have some downtime. And it's always cool to, I mean, you have people of all ages and different stages in their careers and folks who are studying. I mean, it shows you how complex these ecosystems are because of the just variety of, you know, types of data that are being collected on these trips. And everyone is super open and willing to, you know, talk about their research and invite you to help collect sediment samples. I had never done that before, and taking sediment cores for the first time and processing benthic samples, rinsing them out and collecting all the critters into a jar. And I had never gotten to do, I come from a stream ecology background, like I mentioned earlier. And so to really get to experience limnology on this, the most massive scale that you can really is a really unique thing.
Very cool. You're both at different stages of your, you know, careers, your education. Are there obstacles you've had to overcome to get where you are today?
I don't know. I don't know if I can identify anything super particular. I still feel like in the infancy of my career, like this is right out of undergrad for me. As a lot of students in recent years can relate, COVID did definitely kind of dent my educational experience, I would say, because a lot of the cool part of the coursework at UW Stevens Point where I went to undergrad was like the field-based component, but a lot of that had to change due to the pandemic. But I made do, the school made do, and I at least was able to graduate with my senior semester being mostly back to normal, but it did definitely change how my experience would have been.
I'm a little bit in a different position than Isabel, but I think COVID equally affected me while I was in graduate school. I was actually pursuing a PhD at the time, and the pandemic disruption had affected everything, but gave me some time for self-reflection. And I realized that academia wasn't the path that I wanted to continue pursuing. So I would say the biggest struggle I've probably had thus far was kind of like grappling with that decision and making the choice to leave my PhD program and finish with a master's. And I'm really glad I did. it was definitely the right choice for me, but being able to come out of that and just a few months later be in this program and getting to see how I could use my degree in education and my research experience in a way that I had never really expected before. You know, we do the work on the Lake Guardian, which is very much research oriented, but you know, my knowledge of the Great Lakes ecosystems and all the skills and education that I got through my degrees has really helped even just inform my ability to work in this much more programmatic and administrative type of setting. And I think a lot of folks in science and the natural resources kind of get singularly focused on going to graduate school, doing research, trying to become a professor. And there's other paths out there, which I think is exciting. And something like this, I never knew the ORISE program existed. And I'm really glad that I found it.
So an obstacle, but clarity.
Exactly. Yeah. A happy ending.
Right.
That's good. You know, you talk about, you know, your experience on the ship learning from other scientists, but I'm sure throughout your career, both through ORISE and other education, there have been some other mentors that you've learned from throughout the years. Can you kind of talk about some of your mentors and how they shaped to where you are?
Yeah, I guess I've been really fortunate to have the supportive and like very unbiased mentors I've had throughout my short career at UW Stevens Point and here at EPA. I've had two different mentors at EPA because my first mentor retired a few months into my appointment, but both of them were like such huge sources of institutional knowledge at EPA. So I feel fortunate to get to work under them and to get this like longer term picture of what's been happening in the Great Lakes, because I'm just entering the scene. A lot has happened up until now. So I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I've had, you know, graduate research advisors, undergraduate professors that, you know, have served as mentors more informally. And I think one of the things that I like the most about Glenpoe is that everyone who works there is just an incredibly capable and smart and passionate about what they do. And so, you know, we have our ORISE mentors that give us direct mentorship and sort of help us through the day-to-day, but you also have this full office of, you know, people who are always willing to share their experiences with you and help you along. It's a really collaborative environment. And I've learned a lot from my ORISE mentor, but I've also learned maybe just as much just from, you know, the informal and good conversations and learning moments that we get to have with other staff at Glenpoe.
That's awesome. Have you had the opportunity to flip the script and be and mentor other scientists yourself?
Susan might have more to say about that. I feel, like I said before, still so early.
You're still new.
Yeah. I get that. In undergrad, I did get the chance to help some underclassmen start a collaborative research project, and then I kind of had to leave that in their hands when I graduated. But that might be my only such experience as a mentor in a research setting.
That's okay. It's totally valid. Suze, how about you?
Yeah. In both of my grad programs, I've had a chance to mentor undergrads. One in a more like longer term setting. Our lab had an REU student, which is a National Science Foundation program. And I got to mentor this student kind of all summer, and we worked on, they had an independent research project, and I helped them kind of plan and orchestrate the field work for that and help with data analysis and things like that. And I would also say that the ORISEs all sort of mentor each other at Glenpoe. We have like kind of a tight-knit group. And even though a couple of them have actually been hired on as staff in the office, we all still have our Teams chat where we talk almost every day that we're working. And, you know, there's a lot of, we are each sort of in a different area of the office. And So each have different perspectives, and we're kind of always like, I've learned a ton from Isabel. So I would argue that Isabel has informally mentored me, even though she may be in her career infancy. but yeah, I think there's opportunities to learn and teach at any stage in your career, which I think is great.
So I dig it. It's kind of like the O-Rise Collaborative at Glenpoe.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're a strong crew.
I dig it.
I love that. So, you know, you mentioned you're both kind of at different stages in your career, but what's kind of the next step for both of you? Where do you see yourself in, say, the next 5 years from where you're at now to where you're headed?
Yeah, I guess next steps for me is I'm looking at going back to get my master's degree, probably in something related to the Great Lakes. But longer term than that, 5 years, I do hope to still be a part of the Great Lakes scientific community. In some capacity, whether that's another role with a federal agency or maybe on a like state or local government level. But my time here at Glenpoe has really kind of cemented that I want to continue to be a part of this community and all the great work that's going on and the work that remains to be done in the Great Lakes, since it's such an important resource to me and a lot of people I care about and everyone that calls this region home. So.
Yeah, I definitely echo what the last part of what Isabel said. I am not going back to graduate school. done with that chapter. But yeah, I mean, I think I would love to, like Isabel said, stay working in this Great Lakes region. I think working in the government has been a really cool experience, something I never really expected to like as much as I do. So you know, open to the idea of staying in Glenpoe and continuing to work on the, you know, the programs that Glenpoe oversees. But also I think the EPA in general is doing really great work and important work, you know, to help protect and preserve all of our resources, but especially tied to the Great Lakes region. And I think, you know, as we move forward into the future, this resource in particular feels very special. And I think we have something so unique here. And so to be able to continue working on protecting that for future generations is what I care about the most.
Awesome. I love both of those answers. So last question for both of you. What brings you joy? Isabel?
I guess I have two pet pigeons and they definitely bring me joy. I've loved birds since I was a little kid. And so getting out and looking at wild birds as well, but my two pet pigeons at home, their names are Beep and Thunder. And they're pretty
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I've asked this question of hundreds of people and you are the first to say your pet
pigeon. Yeah.
You gotta give them their shout out. They're fun creatures.
Sue's, how are you?
I think thankfully a lot of things bring me joy, but spending time with my dog and my husband, especially if we get to get outside together. Yeah. Being in nature is pretty amazing. I also, you know, I think just, yeah, that's the end of answer.
Awesome. Well, Isabel Dunn and Suze Ligori, thank you so much for joining Matthew and me for this conversation. I think both of us would love the opportunity to come up and
absolutely. I'm down for a trip anytime.
Anytime and kind of hang out and watch what all the scientists do. So maybe someday we can make that happen. But thank you so much for sharing your experiences, letting us learn a little bit more about who you are, and helping our audience understand what an experience at Glenpoe is like. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us. This is fun.
Thank you for listening to the O-Rise FeatureCast. To learn more about the Oak Ridge Institute for Science and Education, visit orise.orau.gov or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ORISE Connect. If you like the ORISE feature cast, give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. The Oak Ridge Institute for Science and Education is managed by ORAU for the U.S. Department of Energy.